All right, praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell of Campbell Ministries Incorporated, and I am very happy that you've joined us today. Thank God for you. Eve's Corner is a show of encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment, and we thank each of you for being with us. Our lines are already open to chat. You can call us at 888-627-6008. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for every listener that's tuned in on today, and we ask you to touch each of them in a special way. As we align ourselves with your word, your will, and your ways, Lord, help us to grow in you. Give us a renewed mind on today, oh God. Encourage our hearts. Heal our bodies, God. Help us to be more like you. Give us the courage to walk upright before you. Help us to talk like you, God. Help us to resemble you. Crown us with more wisdom and knowledge. And we pray now, God, that the fruit of the Spirit is more evident in each of our lives. We pray a special prayer, Lord, for Pastor Ken and his family. We pray, God, that you just heal and touch and move on their behalf on today, oh Lord. Now we pray, God, that this word will permeate our hearts and fall on good ground. Bless every listener on today. Speak to us and through us, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. I will say today's show is a treat. This is a topic that pretty much touches everybody. It's a popular topic. It's a subject that's of interest to males and females, men, women, boys, and girls, to say the least. It reaches all races, all nationalities, all backgrounds, people who are rich and poor. There is not anyone in any financial status that cannot be reached by this topic. So our theme for today is let's talk about a godly man, M-A-N. Now, we're not talking about little boys, but we're talking about how to be a godly man. Now, somebody said that man stands for meets all needs when you place those letters in an acrostic. So you guys can give me a call and tell me what you think those letters stand for. Now, we're not going to man bash today, you know, so don't call me and say messy and needy or something crazy like that. But we want to uplift the men of God on today because we want to help them to be what it is that God would have them to be. But I do want to hear from you. So give me a call and tell me what you think those letters stand for. That's 888-627-6008. And while you guys are thinking about that, our first guest is someone that I've known for quite a long time. His name is Pastor Terrence Kent. Pastor Terrence Kent is the co-founder of Thug Ministries, Juvenile Gang Prevention. He has a degree in counseling from Jacksonville College of Theology. Terrence is the chief adjutant of the Connecting Faith Fellowship under the leadership of Presiding Bishop David Gillard. He is an associate pastor at the Faith Center of Memphis, Tennessee. He is a husband, a father of five boys, and most importantly, this man loves God. Pastor Terrence, are you with us?
I am with you. Praise the Lord. Bless you. I'm glad to be here today.
Amen. So glad that you're here. We appreciate you being here through all kinds of circumstances, but God is good. So first and foremost, we know that in the book of Genesis, concerning the first man, Adam, before he did anything else, he had a relationship with God. What do you think about that, Pastor Terrence?
Yes, in the life of a good man, the first and most important thing is to have a relationship with God. You cannot be a head of a household, or you can't be the head of something if you're not strong enough to humble yourself and let something be the head of you.
That's right. That's right. Go on.
Your relationship with God is more important than taking your next breath. And
absolutely,
people don't think that. People have been so church hurt that they forget about God and they feel like they can do it themselves. But but as a godly man, as a not even just a godly man, as a man in general that's the head of his household, if he doesn't have a relationship with God, if he don't know how to love God first, then he really doesn't know how to love himself second, and he wouldn't know how to love his family third.
Oh, yeah. Now I talk about that all the time. Go on.
Yes. In Genesis, I know a lot of times we talk about the story of when God gave Eve to Adam, mm-hmm. when he produced out of his rib. In that verse, I think that's 1 in 26, if I'm not mistaken, God says that it is not good for man to live alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like in 26, if God tells you the problem that it ain't good for man to live alone, then mm-hmm. he would solve it in 27. But God didn't solve it in 27. He didn't solve it in 27. Instead, mm-hmm. God wanted to let Adam name the beast and the fowls of the air and naming all the animals and taking, first of all, dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Because God had to understand, or God had to see in man, if he could trust man to be the leader of a nation, to trust man to be the head of a household. He was trying mm-hmm. to see if he could trust Adam, not only to be a husband, but to see if Adam was going to be foolish enough to call one of the animals his wife.
All right.
And that's a problem nowadays. I'm going to stay off the men just for 1 second to the women. A lot of times, ladies, godly women, we're not getting what God tells us to wait on. Mm-hmm. Instead, we start naming our sidekick our husband.
All right.
Or our boyfriend, our man.
All right.
And just like the men, we start naming our creep, our lady or our wife, or we'll name our girlfriend, somebody who's not, first of all, mature in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We start naming them our wife. You know, mm-hmm. we give titles to people who don't deserve titles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is that maturity in that relationship mm-hmm. with God that, you know, helps us to know, first of all, what Adam already had in place before Eve came on the scene. As you stated already, he had dominion, but Adam had a job. Adam had a place to live all before Eve ever showed up. So then we as women should have the expectation that there are certain things that should be in place before he even thinks about dating you, because he's not prepared if he's not.
And that's true, and that's I'm trying to say this in the nicest way possible.
Okay, be nice.
Godly women, godly yes. women control situations of a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is, quit choosing anything.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, we shouldn't be choosing you all anyway, and that's a part of our problem. Is we go out looking for y'all, and y'all take the easiest thing that comes along sometimes.
Yes, and
the
what happens
easiest
was,
one ain't always the best for you.
It's not, and we get out of line of the laws or the way God planned it and situated the ways of life.
Mm-hmm.
We get to a point where, when male or female, when we choose, mm-hmm. especially female, when they choose a husband, when they choose a man,
mm-hmm.
they choose out of their emotions, not out mm-hmm. of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they choose out of their emotions, they get a boy and they try to make him a man. Oh, if I take him to church with me, he'll change. Oh, uh-huh. he's been like that, but when we get married, he's going to stop cheating on me. No.
Uh-huh.
No. No. If he finds you, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you found him, you weren't too good to him.
Mm. Well, now, the other part of that verse is that you find a good thing as a man, but the Bible also says that you obtain favor from the Lord.
Favor.
You know, brothers, you may think that you have some favor now. You may think you got it going on now. But one of the other things about finding a wife is that God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to her. That means that there are some characteristics and some character traits that go along with being that godly man. And as we mentioned already, he's a brother who's prepared. You know, he's not finna get it together, and he's not a 50-year-old rapper trying to get a contract, but he has a job. He has a place to live. He has a plan. He has goals. You know, he has a 5-year, 10-year plan. He's got some money saved up because he's planning to be somewhere and go somewhere and do some things. Is that right, Pastor Terrence?
You are totally correct. and And I laugh because nowadays I see a lot of gentlemen who wait on their spouse to take care of the situation. You know, I was talking to a brother about a week ago, and he was telling me he was unemployed. And and I understand the way that the world is going. That it's sometimes that we're going to get laid off, we're going to be unemployed and stuff. So I asked him, you know, my things happen. My question was to him was, okay, so are you looking? No, my wife filled out some applications for me. I said, your wife filled out some applications. And I'm waiting for her to come home from work and cook. And so my thing is, if you're the head of the household now, you shouldn't be waiting for her to come home and cook. Just because you're not making money doesn't mean you can't run the house. I saw my father, you know, my father, before he passed, he was out of work for about 6 months. So for about 6 months, he cooked, he cleaned, he did all the chores, that everything that needed to be done around the house, he did it, except for go to work. But he did enough that he loved her enough. Or he loved himself enough, and he loved God enough for us not to even know that he was unemployed, because he kept the house still flowing in a godly manner. And he didn't wait on. And what happens is we got a lot of gentlemen, a lot of boys that we call men, or they want to be men, or they call themselves men. We have a lot of them that sit, and they want the title of man, but they want the experience of pimping.
Now, see, that's what you're doing. That's a whole other topic. Go on.
That's what they're doing. If a guy can sit at home, watch TV, watch his wife or his spouse go to work every day, and then she comes home and she's cleaning, and she comes home and she does everything, he has now forfeited his title of head of the house. He has now become her child.
That's right. He's a dependent.
He's a dependent.
He is a liability.
Yes. So now when she filed her taxes, she files head of the household, and she filed him as a dependent. But men don't want to. We don't want to hear that, though, because we're not told that. I'm a man. No, no. The words of our mouth should come with action. That's everything that Jesus said in the Bible, he put action behind it.
That's right.
Even when the Holy Spirit came, you heard a sound before the Holy Spirit ever hit. Because there was action to it. So what I admonish the men of today, especially godly men, especially men who love God, especially men in church, do something about it. Don't talk about it.
That's right. That's right. Because as you stated, you know, sometimes things can happen and, you know, a person can lose a job. But there should still be those character traits of a godly man, you know, even when things happen. And I'm not saying, you know, kick a brother to the curb when he's down, but I am definitely saying that if he does not have a job and he cannot provide for himself or you, you need to leave Jody at home with his mama. He can't be riding around all day in your car and dropping you off at work. Then you get off work, he picking you up after he been out flirting with, you know, whoever else all during the day. Jody needs to be at home with his mama. He is not ready. He should have been trying to cleave to you and leave his mama and be prepared as a man. So if he's not doing that, he's not prepared to be your man. And sometimes we as women don't want to wait. You know, we want to say, oh, well, you know, he's just going through something, you know, and that may be true. But he's not ready. And you can't make him be ready.
Why should he be going through something for 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
Right. That's right. Because he can go get a job. It may not be the one he wants.
But he can get a job.
But it will take care of the household. You know, that's right. He can get a job.
We talk about the economy. And we talk about, oh, I can't live on McDonald's. I can't live on McDonald's wages. But your McDonald's wages could at least pay a light bill.
That's right. That's right. And if you work enough hours, you can pay some rent.
You can pay some rent. You know, just because she makes more than you doesn't mean you should do nothing. You should not be 40 with a video game. online trying to challenge the next person.
Right. With no thoughts of getting a job.
With no thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The other thing. Oh, go on, Pastor Terrence.
No, go ahead.
The other thing about a godly man is that he's not just a man who's prepared and a provider. He has position and power, but he is a protector. If you're out in the streets all night, you are not protecting your home. You're not protecting your woman. You ain't protecting yourself. But a godly man is also a protector. You know, so that means that, you know, people talk about chivalry and being a gentleman, but if you're walking down the street with a woman, he should be on the side with the curve. You know, if somebody comes and knocks at the door late at night, he shouldn't be asking her who is it. He should be the one going to find out.
Well, real quick, before we go to a protector, he should have a prayer life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If he can't get through to God, if he's in turmoil about a situation happening in a home, how does he expect the rest of the family to react?
That's right.
You know, if the child is sick, if you have a child sick and the wife crying, he crying, the child crying, you know, but nobody's playing. Mm-hmm. No, nobody's playing. Nobody, you know, as a head of a house, as a godly man, you should be able to know how to get a prayer through.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't have to wait on, you shouldn't have to, a lot of times we depend on pastor them.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to them, we should have hit our knees anyway. First of all, the family shouldn't, you know, the family shouldn't just hear you pray when there's a problem.
That's right.
You should be praying, or you should have a habit around your household to pray even when there's nothing going on. There's a, just now, I'm 43, and maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I started with my family that every morning we pray. My church has 5 o'clock prayer. And so when they're not doing 5 o'clock prayer, I still get up before 5 o'clock prayer to pray. Because one thing we know, that either I'm going through a situation, I'm coming out of a situation, or I'm getting ready to go into a situation. And the way life runs, I should always be prepared spiritually before I can get prepared mentally.
That's right.
You know, I can't protect my family if I'm scared myself.
That's right.
You know, if the wife is going, baby, what are we going to do? I can't be standing up there going, I don't know what we're going to do.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
one thing that
I should have enough strength. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you should have enough strength. But as you said, you know, that comes from having that foundation. Adam was communing with God before Eve came. So, again, women, if this brother does not already have an open line of communication with the Father, you know, the likelihood is that not only can he not take care of you, and he may be lacking some things, but he's not going to have an open line of communication with you either. You know, there is something extra special about a praying man. And as you stated, Pastor Terrence, you know, whether things are going well or not, whether it's just leading your family and thanking and praising and worshiping God for what he's already done, you know, you should have an open line of communication with the Father. Now, I know some men probably don't like hearing this today, but it's in the book. You know, you can go there. And I know oftentimes men don't like to hear that, especially from a woman. But you have a man of God on the line right now. So you can definitely call in and give us your opinion or your comments, you know, whether you agree or disagree. We'll definitely hear you. But having a prayer life and staying before God is a requirement of being a godly man, of being a real man.
A requirement, and we get on these situations, or we get our mindset of I don't need God, or I know God, I don't have to pray every day. Well, let me tell you, the Bible says that we should pray daily.
Most
every day. That's part of that's daily right. that we have a renewed mind daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And in order to have a renewed mind, we have to continue to stay in communion with God.
That's right.
You know, because if I don't know God, if he doesn't clean my mind today, I'll take the situations and the problems of today into tomorrow.
That's right.
And so now, instead of just dealing with tomorrow's problems, I'm dealing with today's, tomorrow's, and then even the next day's problems. Because I didn't know how to put it in the hands of God. And I know people say, oh, well, you don't know what I've been through. No, you don't know what I've been through.
That's right. We all have a testimony.
We all have a testimony. But the situation or the final outcome is, how did you handle your testimony? How did you handle your situation? Did you to God, or did you talk to Bubba them, who gave you the wrong advice?
Because Bubba them gonna give you that advice from the corner, and Bubba them's advice, you know, maybe, well, you know, man, you better go on and get you some on the side, because she acting crazy, you know, because she asked you to take out the garbage, you know, that's not the way it works.
Exactly.
You know, or they gonna stay out late with you, you know, because they don't have anybody to go home to, and you're gonna be foolish enough to hang out there with Bubba them, offer their bad advice, and go home late because you are man. No, that doesn't make you a man. That doesn't make you a man. Because you can drink and hang out and party and say some bad words and scratch. You know, that's not the definition of what a man is. You know, a godly man is one who definitely stays before God. And you need to be praying, too, because the Bible says that she is the weaker vessel. So where she may be weak, you need to be able to lift her up. You need to be able to go to God and go before God for your family. If the children get off track, you should beat your wife praying. Things going on with the job, you should beat your wife praying. You know, there are a lot of godly women who pray all the time. Husbands never pray with them. But a godly man is a leader in spiritual things as well. Not just because he can talk loud and he gets the big piece of chicken at the dinner table. That's not what makes you the man. What makes you the man is your relationship with God. Yeah. Go ahead and talk to
him. He's the covering. No, I'm just saying he's the covering. I agree with what you're saying. He's the covering. But if he has no, let's see, how can I put this? If I don't have insurance for my family, if my family's not insured.
Come on here, preacher. Go
you
ahead.
Know, how can I be the covering for them if they have not just physical insurance, but if they have no insurance in me spiritually?
That's right.
Then they are lost. Then the first problem, the first wreck, the first crash, the first sickness, I can't take them to the doctor because I don't know the doctor myself.
That's right. Speak.
You know, and that's the situation of we feel like because we're man or I'm the man.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're the flesh. You're the flesh.
You're a male.
You're a male.
Uh-huh.
You know, man and woman are spiritual words.
That's right.
We're all male and female. But God says, let me make man. Man. You know, it's a lot of males, because it's a lot of, to be honest, it's a lot of males running around here that don't even want to be men.
You're right.
So we can't just say because we're male that I'm a man. No.
That's right.
You know, God made man, and then out of his ribs, he made woman, womb of man. You know, and those are spiritual words. And we use stuff loosely. We use man loosely. We use woman loosely. We use love loosely. But all of these are action words. I have to show myself approved to be a man.
All right.
I have to be able to pray. I have to be able to protect. I have to be able to provide. I have to be able to commune with my wife and my family. Just because I pay bills and I take care of everything does not mean I'm a man of the house, because I can pay bills all day and have three jobs and my family not know me.
That's right. Now, that's a whole nother subject. Now, speaking of bills, now let's talk about these brothers that come out the box and start off from go and say everything around here 50-50. So do you agree, Pastor Terrence? Because in my mind, if I'm paying half the bills, then that means it's two heads. And anywhere that there's two heads, that's a monster. Doesn't work. You can't have two heads. But if you want me to take on the exact same responsibilities that you have, rather than you as the man take on the responsibilities and I help you meet, because that's what we're supposed to be, the help meet. But if you asking me to do half of what you do, what I need you for? Yes, that's bad grammar.
And that's the mindset.
Yes.
A whole lot of relationships. Well, mm-hmm. And they came from,
is what I need you for. That's why some of us act like that.
Exactly.
Because you bring nothing to the table. You want to move in my house. And you think you're going to drive around in my car? Brother, please.
But
what do I need you for?
But look how many ladies, look how many females, look how many women mm-hmm. are doing.
I know.
And because the absence of a male, a man in the household,
that's right.
They're bringing their sons up
mm-hmm.
to accept. I came from a generation where, though my father was in the house at first, and then he wasn't in the house. Mm-hmm. I grew up around my mother and my grandmother.
Okay.
Well, whether my father was in the house or not, my mother and my grandmother still treated me like my father was in the house.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You're a male. You're a man. You still got to cut the yard. You still got to take out garbage. You still got to buy your own clothes. You got to work hard. You got to provide. You got to put the money into the household. You know, mm-hmm. I know you're the child, but you run the life just like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me at an early age how to provide for my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing new. And what happens is we go to a situation where you finally let your son out your household, and then he went into what we call a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
Now he has to pay his own bills. But he wasn't trained that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing he do is call mama. And mama go, okay, mm-hmm. I do it. Mm-hmm. And then he finds a young lady who does the same thing as mama does.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Because she just wanted a body in the house. She wanted to be able to have a wedding. She wanted the white picket fence. And she wanted to be able to say that she has a man. Because we get into that pressure in today's society where we are less than, or we feel like we're lacking if there is no man. But not if it's the wrong man. Because if it's the wrong man, you're still going to be lacking. If it's the wrong man, you still going to be in debt. If it's the wrong man, you still going to be stressed out. Because this is going to be a different kind of stress.
And we need to stop as Christian women,
mm-hmm.
as God-loving women,
mm-hmm.
wait on God.
That's right.
Stop accepting anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let him find you.
That's right.
You know why Boaz found Ruth? Because Ruth was in the field. She was where mm-hmm. she's supposed to be. She was
at the right time
for him to see her at the right time.
Was. In the right place.
But
that's
we can't
right.
be available. You know, we can't be available if you're working just as hard as the man. He can't find you if you're not mm-hmm. in place where God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
First mm-hmm. of all, because first of all, he can't find you. But first of all, because he can't find himself.
And that is true. He has to definitely know where he is, know who he is. And definitely be staying before God. Because what can sometimes happen is we just get off track. We get off track. And then those two people get together and everybody's frustrated, or it's because of unlearned behavior or things yep. of that nature that we get with somebody. And you know, we won't even talk about living together because that's not the will of God either. But we get with somebody and whether it's you're living together or whether you're actually married and things are out of order, then everything is out of order. The kids are out of order. Everything from the dog, the cat, the job. It seems like nothing is working right because that man is out of order. He is not in his proper place. He is not doing things in proper perspective. And like you said, whether we call him Jody, if the man is not following Christ, she's not going to follow him. She's not going to submit to him. She's not going to do anything that he says or suggests, because she's looking at him saying, he's saying, I pay the bills around here. She's like, no, I pay the bills around here. You know, everything is out of order. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in reverence to God. But you can't do that if you are not submitted to God as a man. Pastor Terrence.
As they say, you speak the word. It's funny how the new age has really put a pacifier in the mouth of godly, well, of men, period. The tables have turned to the point that we're so out of order that now the woman is playing the man role. And the men are playing the women role. And I know that may sound, people say, oh, that's just bias, that's, you know. But no, the Bible was set up, the word was set up where the man was supposed to sound, first have a communion with God, a love for God. Prayer life for God. He should know God. Then second of all, he should know himself. He should know who he is. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's a, you know, he's a lover. He's a, you know, he's a friend. He's all of this.
That's right.
You know, and we skip over some of this. 99.5 won't do. I can't be partnered.
I can't.
And so if I'm sharing my bills, actually, like you said, that you're to help meet. You're supposed to meet him where he is, where he's weak. You uplift your recovery for your husband when he's weak, But you shouldn't spend your whole time, your whole life covering for him.
Because
again, you go back to him being your dependent and not your husband. You know, it says, We always quote the scripture, and we quote part of it, wives, submit to your husband.
That's all people know.
That's all we know. Oh, you're supposed to submit to your husband. But the Bible also says, the word also says, husband, love your wife.
That's right.
As God loves the church.
As Christ loves the church. That's right.
As Christ
and he
loves
gave himself for it.
He died.
Yes, absolutely.
He died for his wife. We are his wife. We are his bride. He died for us.
That's
he provided
right.
for us. He
yes,
provided
he did.
To the point that he took 2 fish and 5 loaves to feed the whole family.
Come on now.
so quit crying when you ain't got but 2 hot dogs and a can of pork and meat. You still need to feed the family.
That's right.
He provided. He loved us. To death.
Yes, he did.
Submit. Actually,
yes,
if you spiritually look at that scripture, if you don't submit to God as Christ did, actually, y'all ain't married.
See?
She don't have to submit to you. Because nowhere in there it tells her to love him. It tells her to submit.
That's right.
It tells him to love her.
He's supposed to love
and
her.
And love covers the multitude.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Love covers. As you said, love protects. Love is feeding your family. Love is giving them what they need. If your wife is out there hustling and having to do everything and come back to provide, and you're sitting at home, you shouldn't feel like a man. You shouldn't call yourself a man, because that's not the description that God gave to us in Adam, the first man. And again, you know, I already said, it's going to be some people upset. It's going to be some people angry. You know, I love you anyway, but the truth will make you free.
Yep.
There's nothing like having information in order to make a decision. And if your decision is to be mad at me, then that's fine. But if your decision is to make some changes according to the word of God, then that's my prayer on today. Like I said, I know that there are all kinds of people listening, all ages, all backgrounds, and I appreciate your listening. But the objective of the entire show is to help you to grow, to grow in grace, to grow in God, to grow in the things of God. And there is no way to find out whom you're supposed to be, whether male or female, you know, because sisters, it's not your day to day, but you know, there's going to come a time when we're going to have a real conversation too, about some things that we as women should be doing, and should be doing different, especially as godly women, as Christian women. You know, there are some entrapments that we set for these brothers that get caught up and end up with the wrong woman, you know, because, you know, his eyes were coming in your direction, and you took advantage of a situation. But that didn't mean necessarily that he was your man. It just means that it was somebody you trapped because you felt like, well, I'm almost 40. I need to go and get married, and I got to do what I got to do. You know, there are some situations, you know, for us too. Today is just not your day. But praise God. Amen. I thank God for you, Pastor Ken. I love your passion for the word of God, and everything that you said is absolutely the truth. Callers, you definitely can give us a call, and again, give us your comments. That number is 888-627-6008. Pastor Kent, do you have any closing remarks for us? I know that you were on a time crunch. Are we still good to go?
We're still good. We're still good. Okay. Right now, let me be transparent, because I know you have some listeners out there that are going, oh, what does he know? What has he been through? You know, what is, mm-hmm. Okay, I want to be real transparent with that.
Okay.
First of all, I hadn't always been in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was brought up in the church, but I left the church. Mm-hmm. I had a moment in my life where I physically used to tell God that I don't like
him. Mm. Wow. Okay.
I physically went through some situations. Mm-hmm. And then I became a grown boy.
Mm, all right.
I became a grown boy. And with becoming a grown boy, I got married to a lovely woman.
Mm-hmm.
And her spirit and everything was great. But she thought that because I got married, and I thought because I got married, everything was going to change. I still didn't mm-hmm. have a relationship with God, but she thought everything was going to change. But mm-hmm. all that did was put some paperwork to my selfishness,
mm-hmm.
to my pride,
mm-hmm.
you know, to me still not loving God like I should,
mm-hmm.
to me really not knowing how to be a husband at all. I was mm-hmm. just a grown boy paying bills, felt like I was running things.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time, by this time, I'm in the church, and that's what I want to be transparent about. Mm-hmm. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you know God.
Mm-hmm.
And as a man, right. sometimes we'll sit in the church and we don't want to hear from another man, or he ain't talking about nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I went on and on and on and on. And though I was paying bills, I was losing my family and not realizing.
Mm-hmm.
One, because my family was steady growing in God, and I was steady growing away from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it came to a point where when I finally got to a point where I was loving God and I got a relationship with God, by this time she was fed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got divorced, and to this day, I love her to death because she's a great person.
Mm-hmm.
And now her and her new husband, they're you know, great, you know. I appreciate him because he knows, he came in knowing how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me to get to a point where, and this is what I want to tell the men out here, don't get to the point where God proves a point to you.
All right now.
Because he's going to make you what he created you to be.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
It's one of those things of voluntarily or involuntarily. I got to a point because I got to a point where I'm thinking I'm in church, God, now. And now that I'm doing good, you know, things are going to go better. No, I lost my family.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my job. I
mm-hmm.
lost my house.
Mm.
I went from 100 to zero within a year's time.
Wow.
And it was not until I got to zero that I found God, and I found what it was to actually be a man.
Because
mm-hmm. he had to take me back to the basis of, son, first of all, get back to loving me.
That's right.
Second of all, get back to loving yourself. Mm-hmm. If I don't love God, I don't love myself. That's when I realize and learn how to love other people.
Mm-hmm.
But we put on this facade. Let's quit mm-hmm. putting clean clothes on a dirty body.
Uh-huh. That's what it is.
Putting this facade on, like, everything is all good. Walking mm-hmm. around, just because you know 5,627 scriptures, don't mean you know God.
That's right. That's right. Very often, you know, as the Bible says, we are putting some old wine in some new vessels, or new wineskins, as the scripture says in the Old Testament. And we have to be cleaned up from the inside out, you know, and that's what this is all about, is getting it together. I definitely appreciate your being transparent, because, you know, and a lot of people may want to get in touch with you. You know, you can definitely write in to my website in order to get in contact with Pastor Kent. And that takes me to our health corner. Our health corner today is on domestic violence. Domestic violence is violent or aggressive behavior, typically in the home, and it involves abuse of a partner or a spouse. Our guests to speak in regard to domestic violence are from Good Twin, Bad Twin, Calden and Alden Hopkins. Are you guys with us? Good Twin, Bad Twin,
yeah.
Calden Alden, are you there? Okay,
yes.
Amen. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely, I appreciate you guys being here. Amen. Sounds like we're breaking up just a little bit, but for our audience, Calden and Alden do a lot in the community. I'm going to have them to tell you about some of the things that they do as Good Twin, Bad Twin. And as you may have guessed, yes, they are twins. They are identical. So Calden and Alden, talk to us about Good Twin, Bad Twin and some of the things that you do in the community.
Okay. Well, first of all, we'd like to say thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to come on the show. We really appreciate it. It was a very, very, very good talk and poignant information that mm-hmm. we heard here, you know, before we came on board.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.
All right. Now, we lend a voice to the community in two different areas. One is social different people in the community, giving them a voice. We also have our social media outlets, television outlets, where we provide the same service. And through our television show, we take opposing topics. We take a topic and take opposing viewpoints and kind of hash it out. Sometimes we do a few sketch comedy. Sometimes we have a musical guest on and stuff like that. But that's what we do, basically.
Okay. Amen. Sounds good.
We have a nonprofit. We have been working for many years, mentoring children. Like I said, we spend a lot of time partnering. Most of them, what we do is partner with other agencies to help them to do some of the things that they do. We work with agencies that help the homeless, mentoring for aftercare, feeding less fortunate families, that kind of thing.
Okay. We started out many years ago for my grandmother, who gave us a vision, and then our mom and family just kind of course, embedded that in us and push us forward. We tell you that we don't believe that your works is what saves you, but when you talk about being a good godly man, you do have to show forth some work. You got to get out there and get your hands dirty, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right about that one. So tell us, how then, what is your perspective on domestic violence and why this topic is important to you?
Well, I would like to share that this topic is a delicate situation. I mean, it's something that we don't necessarily take lightly, or, you know, just say, oh, we're going to run to the microphone and be the first to speak on it. The reason why I say that is not because out of fear, but because we understand how sensitive it is. Also, mm-hmm. we were fortunate enough with God to put us in a position where people came to us and asked us to speak on the subject. And it was something we were very reluctant to do initially. But after a couple of times, every time we spoke, after we spoke, somebody else would come on and say, you know, will you speak again? Will you come and speak again? And that's how we got to speaking about the violence. So I don't want to make it. I really want to make sure that it's not something that we were looking for the platform for, because I actually, to be totally honest, with the mentorship that we do and some of the other projects, I really thought it would be something else that we would touch on. But it is for both of us something that's personal. I mean, because I could speak for me, it came out of wanting to see men change.
Mm-hmm.
It actually started for me wanting to seek a answer, seek a better just a better way of doing it, and just that knowing that you don't have to act that way, but you know your heart says you shouldn't, but then your actions are saying you do, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
I mean, what I mean by that is like, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead and finish. I was going to say, and so, where do we go from here? Tell us what that looks like.
Well, first off, you and Pastor this is Al. You and Pastor Kemp had an awesome discussion earlier, which kind of laid the foundation for a lot of things, particularly when you talked about. Self-worth and valuing the next person. Without a vision and purpose and those kinds of things. If you don't, and he talked about, you know, he was very transparent, and he talked about correcting some things in himself so that he can go forward. First off, if you don't identify God created us. And I have to go there. God created us for Him and with a specific purpose, and that was to praise Him and with to bring forth His kingdom here on the earth. That can look like a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tend to disagree with roles and how that's carried out. I don't believe necessarily that a role it's mandated that we have a specific role. What I think is more important is, does that person have a vision?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what does that have to do? And it kind of bleeds over from the previous topic, but it also leads into domestic violence. Most men are frustrated because you don't know what to do, where to go, and hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
You've been hurt. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what to do. And until you establish, okay, who am I? And because of who I am, this is what I'm going to do. And once that's clear, you can go and do. You know how to treat people. You know what to you know what to say, what not to say. And you know how to acquiesce between different situations.
Of course, that's not to make it. This is Calvin. Not to make excuse for saying, okay, well, this is the reason why I lashed out, because. I want to be very clear. It is not acceptable to put your hands on a woman, to control her, to even intimidate her.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Cal. You can say that again, though.
Right. I mean, so a lot of times, you know, we put that up because, like, one of the things I'm talking about is so imperative, because when you talk about the foundation being laid, we have a society that teaches against a man. I mean, it's just not. It's counterproductive in terms of being spiritual, to be, you know, to be productive, is to be loving. It's counterproductive. You and we glorify or deify thugs or being hard. Or, you know, if we can all say, we can finish this statement. If I say, boy, if you don't be quiet, I'm going to. And then, you know, I know the listening audience can finish that statement for me. I'm going to pop you in the mouth. If you don't go to that school and get that other little boy that jumped on you, then I'm going to. And that's something we were taught coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You got two emotions that was acceptable, to be angry or not, you know what I'm saying? But you if you was too happy, you was gay, you know? If you show too many other emotions other than just being angry, then there was something wrong with you as a dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a guy, you wasn't tough enough. You wasn't man enough. And you raised that child that guy to go into a world and tell him to conflict resolute. We don't even talk about that in the black community. In our families, we don't discuss what conflict resolution even is. We don't think that. We say, y'all better get along. Go in there and get along now. Y'all better not be fighting that bro now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's how we do. And even with the girl, we tell the girl, you know, we teach her to stay away from the guy that's particular models. We tell her to stay away from that, but it is also something we glorify, so she's attracted to that. She mm-hmm. If he ain't hitting on you, he don't love you.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't snatching you up and taking charge. He don't love you, you know. And, mm-hmm. and so, at a young age, we teach that. So now, when we get into the home and behind closed doors, then where do we go? Mm-hmm. What's the solution? And again, this is not to say that this is an excuse. I'm saying it's not an excuse. It's never acceptable to put your hands on the woman. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
or protection. How do you protect your woman? You're given a false sense of protection. Women are given a false sense of what protection really looks like. You guys touched on it a little bit when you talked about prayer and the relationship with God.
Yeah, you know, your knees, mm-hmm. you ain't protected them.
That's right.
But it goes a little bit more than just a cliche or the war room movie that was great at all. It goes a little bit more than that. You have to do a self-assessment and analyze yourself. You really have to know who you are and that you have value, or you're not going to treat other people with that same value or respect. There are certain things that I just will not do. I cannot do this. I cannot talk to you in a hurtful way.
That's right.
I cannot say something to you that's disrespectful, even though you just did something to me or you deserve mm-hmm. it. I have to speak to you in this kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in this society, that's difficult because mm-hmm. everybody is retaliating, snatching the my fries weren't cooked, being mean to the waitress.
So we're going
to
put that on YouTube video. You know what I'm saying? We're going to put that on World Star, you know what I'm saying? And we're going to, get a million likes behind me, slapping the girl in the mouth. See, watch this, y'all.
And people keep watching it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I know that we don't have a very good connection with you all. I guess we'll probably have to make sure that we give you guys some more time and speak to you again. But tell us what is next for Good Twin, Bad Twin. Tell us some of the projects and things that you have coming up.
Well, in December, we're going to be doing two different projects. We're going to have there's a nonprofit organization called Healing Place Ministry where we're going to partner with to feed the homeless in a local park. And we, of course, encourage anybody to get out to participate in those type of activities, giving back, because you learn that you actually go in and get more out of it than the people you touch your faces with. In conjunction with that, we also will be having a food drive where we're doing drive through food can items where Good Twin versus Bad Twin. When we collect the canned goods, we go to a local, we're going to Walton Elementary School this time, to partner with Walton Elementary School.
Walton Elementary School is a school that one of the schools that we try to mentor at.
Okay, here in Jackson.
Right here in Jackson.
Okay. Okay. Great. So, for our listeners, you know, I know that you guys are probably mostly listening on today. We didn't have any callers outside of our guests. We definitely appreciate our guests calling in. I want you guys to understand that domestic violence is something that one in four women will experience in their lifetime. And it can happen to women. It can also happen to men. It can happen to people of any race, any religion, any income status, and also according to research, it shows that it happens more so between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. So, you know, it is not something that's even often reported, you know, and I know that you guys can probably attest to that too. I know that you've done a lot of work in this area. But now how do our listeners get in touch with you and how can they see you? Because I know that you have shows and other ways that people can communicate with you. Tell us about that.
Right now, the best place to reach us is our YouTube. You can just search for Good Twin, Bad Twin Unleashed, and we have a few years worth of videos that are out there. Also, on your social media, Instagram, Good Twin, Bad Twin, or on Facebook, Good Twin, Bad Twin. Like I said, Good Twin, Bad Twin Unleashed will get you either on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. If you Google us, you'll be able to find us as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. I definitely appreciate you guys being on. Pastor Kent had to drop, but I am very appreciative of all of you coming onto the show today. This is a topic that, you know, like I said, it reaches all kinds of people. It touches all kinds of folks. And if you were not in an abusive situation, the likelihood is that you know somebody who was or is, you know. So there is a phone number to call if you are involved in a domestic violence situation. That number is 1-800-621-HOPE. 1-800-621-HOPE. We definitely don't mean to make light of this, but the best foundation in order to be a godly man is definitely to have a personal relationship with God. If you want to reach Campbell Ministries, you can write us at P.O. Box 16214. That's Jackson, Mississippi. And the zip is 39236. You can also go online to our link and just click on donate if you're interested in making a donation. You can go on to the blog as well. That's at bbsradio.com/Eve's Corner. I definitely appreciate all of our listeners on today. Our topic again is let's talk about a godly man. I expect to hear from some of you all later on about this acrostic for what man stands for. And I haven't got anybody to call and tell me about that yet, but how about you put that on my blog page or my Facebook page? And we'll talk about it at a later date. May God bless you and keep you. Again, I appreciate you all for listening. Our next show topic is Reset. The book is by Bishop Joseph Warren Walker, my pastor. That show is going to be in 2 weeks. That's on 12/19. Again, thank you for listening. May God bless you and keep you until next time. Amen.